You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's just about here. Our first signature event of the year. It is coming up on Saturday, 710's Pickleball Madness Tournament at the Agape Pickleball Center, Mile Square Park in Fountain Valley. We start at 10 o'clock in the morning. We go all morning, all afternoon until 4 o'clock. Food, drinks, games, fun zone, March Madness. Plus, you can sign the biggest card in the world for Steve Mason. He'll be celebrating a birthday. We'll also be celebrating Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary on ESPN LA. And you can RSVP right now for your seat. You go to ESPNLA.com, click the Pickleball Madness logo. Special thanks to Subaru. Love, it's what makes Subaru a Subaru. And now the love is electric, Slee. And
how big is that card, do you think? This is a world record card.
It's got to be pretty big if it's right. Going to be a world record card, right? Yeah, I've seen some big cards before.
Yeah, I'm curious. Is it going to be like the size of the whole fence? Because remember last year that fence was very big.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to see, do we have a big Sharpie to go along with this too? Like, we need to have that
multiple
whole thing
Sharpies
filled up.
Or are we lying to our people that it's not the biggest card ever?
They picked it up at the Hallmark store and it's just clipped with a little paper clip at the top.
We would never
of the thing.
Lie to our people, okay?
Never.
So this is true. But I'm excited to see how big this thing is.
I'm suing us. I want the truth.
You get to the bottom of this? Absolutely. Okay, good. I'm feeling validated. My rose and thorn, or rosebud and thorn. What, Em, help me out here?
Rosebud and thorn.
Rosebud
yeah.
and thorn.
Yeah.
I was telling you a little bit about it, Slee. I have validation that someone else outside of my house heard it. So this is very good news. So this is good news.
Is it the thorn or the rose?
Oh, yeah,
it is my thorn.
This is thorn.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's my thorn.
I got part of the. Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't hallucinating.
Okay. Got it.
Very quickly, before we go to Aaron Nunn, what the was that that Kyrie Irving made at the end of the game last night? Like, I don't want to, the Mavericks, whatever, Lakers are changing. Kyrie Irving might have hit the greatest game-winning shot I've ever seen as far as degree of difficulty of the shot that wasn't and completely random.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've seen guys throw in 70-footers, right? That happens.
You don't have a choice, yeah.
Some skill, but mostly luck. This was, with 2-point-something seconds left, he catches the ball. He's doing a little curl towards the free throw line. Kyrie Irving is right-handed. Mm-hmm. He takes with his left hand, with Nikola Jokic guarding him, who's 7 feet tall. Kyrie's what, 6'3" or 4'5", something like that. With his left hand,
oh my gosh,
kind of throws in a sidearm scooping finger roll
hook shot
layup thing that was nothing but net. It was perfect, and it wasn't lucky. It was a shot that he made from beyond the free throw line. It's about an 18-footer. I don't know if I've ever seen a higher degree of difficulty shot to win a game.
There is a couple ways that you could indicate when something's special. And I'm tell you what I mean by that. You have to look at the reaction of other players. These NBA players have probably seen every shot that you can possibly think of.
Yes.
Luka had both of his hands on his head like, that might be the greatest shot that I've ever seen. That's Luka. I get it if Maxi Kleba has the same reaction, but that's Luka on the other side. This is not a, and I just remember this because I've just seen a lot of documentaries on the Lakers back in the days. I remember it was Magic's rookie year, okay? And he's inbounding a ball, he inbounds it to Kareem, and Kareem takes that, the famous
sky hook
yeah. about free throw line extended, and they win the game, and Magic's jumping all over Kareem, and Magic tells the story of Kareem saying, that's game one. There's 81 left. Don't ever do that again. But his
shot... But that's a shot that Kareem had hit a billion
that's
times.
That's what Kareem is known for.
Right.
Okay. Take Kyrie, switch hands to his left hand, and now taking a shot over a 7-footer, that's what Kyrie did. It's I'm with you.
Like, had he taken a sky hook... Okay, that would be bonkers because he's Kyrie Irving.
A little bit
he's
from
not
the side.
It was like a sidearm skyhook scoop. I've never seen it.
Here's the dumbest thing about the shot too. Kyrie is so. Michael always says this. Like you talk about guys that he's as good finishing with his left as he is with his right. Yep. Like, there's only Powell was like this. You know, as good as finishing with his left as he is with the right. They use both their hands as good as they want. I've never seen a shot like that before. And what's crazy about it, I don't think that's a, and I think you've mentioned it, he can hit that shot again. That's not a, hey, he's going to make that shot one out of 100 times.
I don't think there's Damian Lillard, Kyrie, the most blank I've ever seen. That
bra?
Just,
I
left the bra out. There are other NBA players like I've never seen
but
anything like that
But they're not
saying
before. It's lucky.
It right? wasn't.
Like, I know. That's what I'm saying is that they know, like, Dame and Jalen Brunson know how special of a shot that was.
Like, we'll see a guy do a turnaround heave at the free throw at the half court line with time expiring. It goes in. You're like, okay, you kind of had to know the line and the direction, but that's 98% luck. That was 98% skill. He's not making that again, by the way. Like, how do you defend that? How do you defend a running sidearm finger roll from the top of the
circle?
He's
the only one that can make that shot. He's the only one in the NBA that can actually take that shot.
So, you were off on Friday. Aaron Donald retires. When did you find out?
Notifications just start coming in. Yeah. And so, I probably found out right as the show was about to start, right around that time. I think there's... It makes me think, because you were gone in Pebble Beach when Jordan Rodriguez came out with a story and Emily mentioned, hey, we got to talk about this. And there was a little bit of like, I don't know, Em, do we
Why
really?
Why is this question keep on being brought up? Because she kind of put out there like that maybe Aaron would retire, that they haven't had a clear he will be back next season.
But my response to Em was like, okay, hey, I read the article. I get it. I understand it. The guy's coming back. This is just my assumption, right? The guy is coming back. Part of it is because wouldn't you have retired a year earlier if you were done, the team, there wasn't much expectations, the Super Bowl, all that, you already got all this. Now you got 30-plus on the books of this upcoming year, which I think he's still going to get probably close to half of that, part of a retirement bonus, whatever the case is. But your team is good. So I just assumed that if he was going to retire, he was going to do it earlier. He wouldn't do it this year. My initial reaction was, it was shock, and then it was, damn, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I thought there was nothing to it, nothing to it at all. The dust settles a little bit, and you start thinking about Aaron Donald, and you know, if you said, hey, think of Aaron Donald, what's one thing that jumps out to you right away? I think of the Super Bowl. And I go back to him basically putting a ring on his finger on it. And think about the impact that he's had, obviously, with the Rams. Think about the impact he's had since a team came back to Los Angeles and he's doing his best to, as best as he can. Hey, come cheer for the Los Angeles Rams. I'm one of the greatest to ever do it at my position. I might not say much, but damn, you got to respect my craft and my work. And then as we kind of sit here today, I think the question now becomes, how much worse are the Rams today than they were 72 hours ago?
So I guess the question is, and this is what Sean McVay, Les Snead, and I guess Chris Shula are going to have to figure out. Chris Shula, of course, is replacing Raheem Morris. Like, had Aaron Donald left at the end of last season and Raheem Morris was still coming back to coordinate the defense, you have a guy that's been around the block a long time, who'd been in that job as a long time, who knows what life in the NFL, guys coming and going, and all of this kind of stuff. And, well, Raheem Morris is gone, and now Aaron Donald is gone, and now Chris Shula is a first-time defensive coordinator trying to replace. And again, they've known he's been gone for some time. This is this did not land on their lap on Friday.
I doubt
Chris Shula found out on Friday morning, too. Yeah. I'm sure he's known for a while. But you don't go, okay, we need to get a new defensive tackle. Yeah, probably, but there isn't another one of those. You don't draft another one of those. You don't find or trade for another one of those. That's a once in an organizational history type of player. Mm-hmm. How do you even figure out what you have defensively? Because what you had in him allowed the other 10 guys on that side of the ball to play so radically differently because so much attention was paid to him. Whoever steps into that position is going to be a mortal, not immortal. And now all of a sudden the pressure on the secondary goes way up. The pressure on guys like Byron Young and Kobe Turner, who got 8 and 9 sacks respectively, go through the roof because Aaron Donald drew so much attention. I don't even know how you start getting ready for life without him, other than you got to start to play a little bit and see how good these other guys are. I don't even know if you can evaluate them properly.
The only good thing that I would say is that if Aaron Donald gave them the indication once the season ended, it's not like Aaron Donald sent them a text on Friday morning basically talking about, hey, guys, I'm thinking about calling it quits.
Yeah.
So I think the one advantage that they will have is this is not a surprise to them, and it's not a surprise to the organization. I think there is no replacing him, period. It's just figuring out, we got a draft pick at number 19. How much does that now change what our thought process is going to be?
Yep.
Free agency.
Can I throw one other thing in there? Because, yes, draft and free agency for sure. How good is Kobe Turner? We think he's pretty good. He had 9 sacks as a rookie. That's really good.
Yeah, but how much of that is because
exactly.
they have to pay
so
attention to
I don't
Aaron
even
Donald.
Know how good he is until I got to see him without Aaron Donald. Same thing for Byron Young. Same thing for these secondary guys. I can't even really tell you for sure what I think about these guys until they have to do it without the greatest defensive tackle of all time on the line with them because they've never had to do it before. Mm-hmm. It's just it's an impossible calculation until you see a little bit of it.
And you may not have to realize that the Rams might have to win their games this year even more than in the past with their offense. They might have to outscore people and put everything into that offense, and as they already kind of have their offensive line giving Matthew Stafford time and Kyron Williams space. So maybe they're thinking, okay, maybe our defense can just get by. Maybe they can just be good enough that our offense is great.
Not crazy about that, but that might
they
be
might
the
not have a choice.
They
might not have a choice. Look, if we're just purely speculating on the fun factor.
Your talents on offense.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just like, who's their best player? Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Who's their second best player? It's probably either Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua. Who's their third best player? Kyron Williams. Mm-hmm. Who's their next best player?
Avila? I don't know. Like an
maybe.
Offensive lineman?
Kevin Dotson?
Yeah.
Right? It's there. All of these guys are on that side of the ball. Maybe it's just for a fun perspective.
They might need to put up 30
points
a game.
Like, hey, we're going to race you to 40.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to race you to 40. And if you get there before us, good on you. But if not, we're going to win these games.
And it might not be like a Super Bowl winning strategy.
Maybe not.
And I think that they will, you know, if they have an opportunity to take someone they think that would fit in really well. But it might just be how they have to do it. But I think that one thing that we've talked a lot about how people come and go in the Rams a lot of time, especially in terms of coaches. They've come and they've been under McVay and they leave and they go be an OC or they go be a head coach somewhere else. That losing both Aaron Donald and Raheem Morris are going to be huge factors in the way that they, I think that we haven't seen before in the Sean McVay era since he started.
No question.
It definitely took some air out of the sails, right? That once the season ended, you can say to yourself, you can have the concept and the idea of, okay, hey, we lost, but we lost to the Lions. But look at the season that they had. Look what they're building off of. Now there is kind of a little bit of a step back.
How would you like to have been Jimmy G? Because the Aaron Donald news drops at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the Jimmy G news drops, was like 2? Something like that, 1:30, 2
o'clock.
We were
already off the air, so it's probably 2:30, somewhere there.
It's like, oh yeah, cool. Because by the way, that's a really good signing
for
them.
It is a good signing, I agree.
It's a really good signing for them. But on the heels of Aaron Donald saying, peace out, it's like, oh yeah, we got Jimmy G. Yeah, he's super handsome, cool. That's actually a really good addition for this team because odds are you're going to have to play a game or so without your quarterback. And isn't Jimmy G kind of
Can
the perfect backup?
Can you imagine the text Garoppolo sent Aaron Donald saying, you're going to do this on my day?
Yeah. Hijacked my moment, bro.
Are you kidding me?
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
Exactly
right. Why exactly is Jimmy G such a great backup quarterback for the Rams? I mean, he wasn't great with the Raiders.
I'll tell you why.
He didn't earn his job there.
I'll tell you why. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, can I make this easy for everybody? On Friday, I'm not even going to promote anymore. if you're in Anaheim, you're coming out to hang out with the Travis and Sliwa show this Friday. So whatever you have to do with work, don't let work get in the way of a good time. Is that a real quote or did I just make that up? All right, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Friday in Anaheim, Pizza Hut, 301 South Magnolia Avenue. Just so you know, we're giving away a 75-inch TV from our friends over at Mirror Audio Video in Westwood. Just so you know, there are going to be TVs at this Pizza Hut so you can watch all the college games that are going on. Plus happy hour special starting at 10 a.m. $1 off pints of beer, $2 off pitchers, half price apps, the $9 express lunch deal, and more. Pizza Hut in Anaheim this Friday. Travis and Sliwa show Pizza Hut. No one out pizzas the Hut. We'll see you there on Friday.
And you keep leaving out what I believe to be the second best part. The best part is a 75-inch TV from Mirror Audio Video that, tied with pizza and beer specials.
Great.
We get to watch you live and die with every make and miss of your Aztecs, who are actually playing. The game will start and end while we're on the air.
You'll be on Ask Slee, and they'll be in the middle of the first half.
Yeah, that's right. It's at 10:30. We have a lot of Aztecs in Southern California. They're not just all in San Diego. So if you're an Aztec fan, you want to come watch a game, come watch a
game. What am I going to deal with here? Like, what is my co-host, my broadcast partner? What are you going to be? Are you going to be useful to me on Friday? Or are you going to be checked out?
I think it depends.
On?
How they doing?
Well, give me the range of emotions.
If they're doing poorly, if they're losing by 20.
If they're doing poorly, I'm turning off all the TVs. You know, I turned it off. I told you during the pregame on Saturday, I'm watching Lakers and New Mexico Wild, and I just had one TV to turn off. I'm going to have to like go behind every TV and turn them all off.
And you're like, what madness? What sport are we
guys, focus on the show. That's what I'm going to tell them.
Focus on the Lakers.
What if it's going well?
If it's going well, let's have a good time. Now, granted, I have a Laker game on Friday coming up. Later in the day, I'm Ubering to the pregame show on Friday night.
What if...
would be great.
Or I'm doing pregame from Pizza Hut. I'm like, guys, I couldn't leave.
How about this? State throws in like a three-pointer at the buzzer to win by one.
Yeah.
And you just decide to go hard.
Hard to the hoop.
You just decide you're all in.
Yep.
And you do the Lakers show with one eye closed. That would be amazing. That's what I'm kind of rooting for.
What I really want is, the San Diego State wins on a last-second buzzer beater. They get through. He takes off his headset, and he runs around the Pizza Hut a couple times just to get the energy out.
And then you chug
a beer with Travis, and you try to beat him.
Done. He doesn't have
to
try to beat
him.
We can just chug beers. You can be one of these guys. That's how I see when I'm having a really good time, my right eye gets closed because I can only use my left eye at that point before it gets a little.
I play pickleball when I'm having a good time. A couple ultras in.
So your question, Em, was why is Jimmy G such a good backup?
Yeah, so he was discarded by the Raiders essentially as their starting quarterback, and you know he's been underwhelming.
Okay,
so why is he such a great backup?
You said he was discarded as their starting quarterback.
What role? Starting quarterback.
I don't want him to be the quarterback of my team 17 games a season. I want him to be the guy that, hey, listen, Matthew Stafford twisted his ankle and he's going to miss a couple of weeks. Matthew Stafford got hit and he's in concussion protocol for the rest of the game and we got to get through the second half. It's 17-17 at the start of the third quarter. We got to get to the end of this game. Jimmy G is not the guy I want to build my franchise around. However, this is a guy that has taken a team to the Super Bowl that has really never been until he went to the Raiders on a bad team. He doesn't seem to panic. He seems to be a guy that's his teammates respond to in a positive way. This is a guy that's been a starter in the NFL for multiple years. He was able to absorb what Kyle Shanahan was doing offensively, which gives me a great deal of hope that he's going to be able to absorb what Sean McVay is doing offensively. And what you're looking for in a backup quarterback in the NFL is basic competency. Jimmy G is basically competent, and I mean that as a compliment. Same way with Carson Wentz. Brett Rippon was not. John Wolford was not. Bryce Perkins was not. Stetson Bennett was not. This is a guy that if you said, listen, don't drive us off the cliff and we're going to have a package of plays. Can we do this for a couple of games? Absolutely. I think that's what it is. Do I need him to play the rest of the year? Don't love that. But for a game here or there or in a pinch, absolutely.
Let's highlight. And if you remember this during the season, there were a lot of times you mentioned they didn't go spend resources on a backup quarterback. Right, that was something that And maybe Travis just had to do it. They didn't think they were going to be good, so they didn't want to put resources towards a backup quarterback. And if the Rams had a predicament happen last season where Matthew Stafford was going to have to miss 5 or 6 games, something along those lines, I'm sure the Rams are saying, okay, let's just get the best pick possible. I don't want to go spend a resource on a backup quarterback. What I think this tells you, of them going out and getting Garoppolo, tells you that, of course, that 1 or 2 games could be the difference. That 1 or 2 games or 3 or 4 games could be the difference of them continuing to kind of keep their head above water. I'm going to make one more quick point on the Raiders. Do you remember what he signed for? To be a starting quarterback for the Raiders, he signed for $72 million and $33 million of it are guaranteed. I don't know what the terms are for, you know, what he's signing with the Rams.
Not that.
There's no risk in this.
No.
And I think what you said is that he can walk in and at least keep them above water when needed.
Well, you said it well, that last year the Rams, I think they obviously got very hot in the second half of the season, ripped off a bunch of wins, but they were one win away potentially from missing the playoffs, and that could have been that Green Bay game that you and I talked about, where this is before Green Bay had kind of hit their stride. The Rams looked like one of the worst teams in the league.
It was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
They scored 3 points and they were lucky to get 3.
And both of those teams make it to the playoffs and were really good.
And were scary. Mm-hmm. Both of those teams looked good. But if they lose that game and 1 or 2 other things shake differently throughout the second half of the season, they're out because they had to play one stinking game without Matthew Stafford. And that's what it could be this year. Only now you're going into it with, it could be the difference between being home or on the road. Mm-hmm. It could be the difference if you know, what if it happens in a playoff game?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's a terrible scenario, but Jimmy G coming in, you're not dead. You don't love it, but you're not dead. And that's what you're looking for in your backup quarterback. Or when Brett Rippon came in, are you dead? Yep.
Yes.
We sure are. Are you dead with Carson Wentz? No. Hmm. Are you dead with Jimmy G? No. And I think that's why it's such a big deal.
I also
Did
think
you get a jersey
that,
yet?
Yeah, totally.
He's pretty handsome.
I think that the thing with Jimmy G too is his biggest detrimental thing that held against him was his arm, his deep threat. He just kind of lacked the ability to have that big play. And again, when you're a backup quarterback, you're going to do check downs. You're going to have to run the ball a lot, and he can satisfy the Rams. And honestly, the Rams offense isn't a ton of deep threat anyway.
I was just going to say, how often do they push the ball down the field like that? Not very often.
It's a lot of yak, honestly. Yeah. It's getting to Puka, and then he breaks the tackle, and then he goes away. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that the Rams should do more of this year is having a deeper threat. But again, with Matthew Stafford and Jimmy G as your quarterbacks, they're older, and maybe they just want to be able to execute.
Well, I think it's that. And the other part is their three wide receivers, their main three guys,
aren't speedy.
They're not burners.
Yeah.
That Kupp, Nacua, and Robinson are not guys that are going to run past people. That's Tutu's role, and good luck with that.
Yes, and yes, Jimmy G is very handsome, so congratulations to all the Southern California ladies to having more Jimmy G on your local radio station or TV station.
Ticket sales, ticket sales just completely
Susan
changed.
Was excited. The Rams got Jimmy G. Yeah, you're giving me your backup Rams quarterback.
Why don't
quarterback
we add Sam Hartwell in the fifth round, too, or late round?
Yeah, I guarantee you Susan did not know that Jimmy G was a backup. She thought he was coming here and she was for it. Yeah,
Matthew,
we got Jimmy G.
He?
You know he's never going to play, right? Yeah, well, what? What do you mean?
I mean, he gets to take off his helmet more and be on the sidelines in just a hat, too, so you see more of his face.
Okay, so he's at a
Every
Laker
commercial
game.
Is going to be him. Partners are going to be jumping on. And
so he was at a Warriors game with McCaffrey and Kittle. Was Kittle the third guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we know why we skipped him.
The line of Warriors dancers was a single file line to go meet Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other players literally did not exist.
Who goes with Jimmy G to the Laker game, and is there still a single file line? Let's say he goes with Puka.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He goes with Puka and
Puka's
this is
in a relationship.
Easy.
Just
no, this
like
is easy.
McCaffrey.
This is easy.
Kyren Williams.
I mean, yeah, I think it's gonna be a line for Jimmy G because Jimmy G is on the market.
This is easy. At this point, nobody goes with him. Because everybody's like, I'm not going to freaking go with Jimmy G.
Oh, that's bad strategy. You're not thinking it through. Because Jimmy G can only handle so much. There's going to be some overflow.
Right.
You got to, you know, hey, I'm still here. All right. What are you going to do? You got to play a numbers game, Slee. Rosebud and Thorn coming up next. Stravin Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys. So today we're going to do a little bit of Rosebud and Thorn. And so, you know, everyone's kind of had this experience where you're at a doing a little icebreaker or at a, you know, a work meeting. And they ask, like, what's the Rosebud and Thorn? What's the highlight and lowlight of the last 24 hours? So, Travis, why don't you start us off? Do you have a Rosebud and Thorn?
I do. So which one would you like first?
Whatever. Deal of choice. Whatever you
okay,
want.
Okay. I'll do them in the order in which they took place.
Okay.
So I got the Rosebud, which is, and that's why I looked at you so funny when you said to me earlier today, do you ever have a customer service experience where they won't leave you alone?
Mm. That was off air. So yeah, we talked about that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she said to me, like, where somebody comes up and asks to help and then they just constantly annoy you as you're going through your shopping experience.
Can I help you?
I had that yesterday, but it was exactly what I needed at the time I needed it, and it was wonderful. My youngest son, Michael, is having an issue with his laptop, so we took it to the Apple store, and the people there could not have been any more helpful.
You love a Genius Bar.
And so Michael's at the Genius Bar, the guy trying to help him out, and I said to Michael, I said, hey, I'm going to go look at the Apple Watches. And so I walked over there. It could have been 2 or 3 minutes later. Another employee comes over and says, hey, I heard you had some questions about Apple Watches. And I'm like, I actually do. They were patient. They were incredibly informed. It was a wonderful customer service experience.
I have a question because I think everybody's different. When you walk into a store, doesn't matter what kind of store, what kind of what's too much, what's too little? Like if I walk all I want is when I walk in, hey, thank you for coming by. If you need something, just let me know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm looking for. If I get one of those, then I could kind of do my thing. And if I need them, I'll come
I'm
over.
Looking for, hey, is there anything I can help you with? At this point, they need to react to my answer. If I say, nope, I'm just poking around, that means I'm good. I'm not looking for anything specific. And if I have any questions, I'll let you know. But if I say, hey, I'm looking for this, and they, oh, well, okay, come on over here. I am actively seeking their assistance in this. And this was one of those times, and not pushy. It was just a perfect customer service experience. I loved it. And that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
And I loved it.
You know who is very pushy? Sephora. Anybody who's been out there, they bombard you.
Oh.
It's a small store too. So it's a makeup store if you don't know what that is. So small store. And I swear to God, there's always like 10 people just
They're
milling
coming.
Around these little things.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, welcome to Sephora. That's all I want. Hey, welcome in. And I say, hi, thank you. And then I go and do whatever I want. Because typically I go in, I know exactly what I need.
Yeah, I would
I go in
you.
And go out. But every single time, you're even looking at something for like half a second. They're like, can I help you?
I don't like that.
And it's just like,
yeah, it's
and
too
it's
much.
Eight
it's
different people much. Ask you. And I'm like, just, I don't need help. And if I do need help, I'll ask.
Yeah. Costco, I can't find somebody. Costco, I'm searching
that's
around.
That's not
for
their. That's not their business 45 model.
Minutes.
Their business model is not to ask you if you need help. You need to find it. Or
I got the guy that's on. You know, he's moving like crates or something.
He's in a forklift.
Can you help me
They're
for a
busy.
Second? He's like, no, I'm transferring all the paper towels.
I think it's Sephora. The main reason why they did it is because it's a very popular shoplifting thing. Because it's small things and it's purses and people will just put it in there. So I think that they're vigilant because of that.
Loss
but what's
prevention.
Your thorn?
My thorn was this morning at 2 a.m. So I did not sleep particularly well last night. So I was sleeping very lightly. Okay. And I hear a boom outside that is not like something fell. It honestly sounded like an explosion from a movie, like not just a bang, but a kaboom.
Like a thunder?
But more explosive than a... It's literally... Like,
the hell is going on in that
neighborhood? I thought, honestly, like a gas main had exploded. That's how loud it was. And so I sat up in bed and I'm like, what was that? Susan kind of wakes up and she says, wait, did I not dream that? Did that actually happen? I'm like, no, that happened. asked my boys this morning, or text, they're like, no, I didn't hear it. I'm like, what in the world? I texted a buddy of mine who lives, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks away from me. I'm like, hey, did you have me? He goes, yes, I heard it. It scared the living daylights out of me. The more I think about it, I think they were probably doing something at Camp Pendleton, which is not far from my house, because it sounded so much like an like a detonation of a huge bomb that it's the only thing that could sound like, because I was waiting for police cars and fire trucks. I'm thinking, we're going to have to evacuate the house. Yeah. That's how loud it was. Nothing.
I love that the boys were like, yeah.
Didn't even hear it.
That's crazy.
Didn't even hear it. And it's, you that's know, scary. When you get woken up in the middle of the night and your heart's just racing, because that was my thorn this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's scary. Hopefully nothing terrible happened.
I've been looking online all morning. Nothing. Like it never happened.
Neighborhood <It's aliens>. Watch.
It landed. And
they
then
have
they
a group of mother hens that all text each other with news from the neighborhood, and none of them know anything.
All right, Al?
All right, Rosebud, for me, I know we had a daylight savings, what was this now, a little over a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this was our first full weekend and our first full week to just enjoy that we have more time, more daylight. I took advantage of it. So for me, it didn't matter. Just the mere fact that we're not getting dark till 7 or 7:30.
And you're sunbathing on the roof? until 7:30?
I don't know if it changed anything for you guys, but I'm telling you, just the ability to go out on walks, to go outside again for this, or sitting out on the balcony and having dinner. Mm-hmm. Little things like that, I really, really noticed it these last couple of days because of daylight savings. My thorn, can't figure this out. Can people just pick up after themselves? Like, am I asking for too much here? I felt like there is just so much more trash on the floor. Yesterday, I'm going for a walk. I did something I've never really done before. And this is, I went and got a, I guess I have done it before, but definitely haven't done it off. I went and got a paper bag. And I just was picking up trash around the neighborhood.
On the sidewalk? And
you should get one of those sticks with a nail in it.
I want one of those. No, I want one of those. I want the clip one.
Oh, the little grabber?
Yeah, I want the clip one. I want one of those. I think I got a new side hustle, even though nobody's going to pay me for
it. You're a street janitor.
I'm basically a street janitor. Why are we littering? Like, what's the point of littering? Can somebody explain to me why we're littering? I don't know what it is, but damn, does it make a neighborhood just look completely different. Pick up after yourself. That was my goal.
It's the same people that drive in the shoulder on the highway. It's like, my time is the most precious. My thing's the most precious.
So
I'm lazy.
Stupid.
I'm just going to drop whatever
people
I have.
That drive on the shoulder, that catches up to them. That doesn't last long. I'm not worried about that. The universe will correct to those. I went to, my son Michael had a baseball game at Pepperdine on Saturday morning. And we go to the game, and my mom and dad met us there. And so Susan and I, my
I
mom and dad are sitting
going.
There. And Susan bought some snacks. And like we had cuties and I think a banana. So we put the cuties and the banana peel on the ground after we were done. And I picked it all up to throw it away. And my mom, who is a regular listener, goes, I thought you don't pick up after yourself after the baseball game. And I'm like, well, I got bullied into it. So that reminded
me
of that.
It's a good thing to get bullied
my
into.
My mother bullied me.
There you go.
You can change.
I guess
you're not
so.
Too old to change.
But then at that point, I wanted to throw it back down on the ground and go, you can't tell me what to do.
And also, orange peels are biodegradable, so at least they would probably degrade. All right, Cody, what's your rosebud and thorn?
So my rosebud and thorn are correlating with one another. So over the weekend, I was kind of checking my school emails just because I need to make sure I'm on top of everything because I'm graduating in May. And then I got a email that said, like, oh, your cap and gown are, like, it's almost that time to go pick up your cap and gown. So I was I thought
so
about
scary.
It. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, graduating from college, the cap and gown, it's kind of, that's,
for sure.
That's my rosebud. So like, just.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Have you had the dream?
What dream?
The one where you show up to graduation and like, you're a class short, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
You haven't had that one? Emily, did you have that dream?
I didn't know, but I know what you're talking about.
I've had that dream. I still have it.
It's a Zach Morris thing.
It is you never graduated. Yeah. You did not do this class. You do not get to go through the ceremony.
No, I'm too paranoid.
Hopefully I planted the seed and you wake up in a panic
every
tomorrow morning.
Semester. I always thought like, hey, like I'm on track, right? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, and that's the only question I'll ask. Like I'm on track. And they're like, why did you even like request a
do you
like
meeting
an appointment? For
I'll
this.
Ask both you guys, Trav and Emily, do you guys remember when you were done? And what I'm talking about is, like, I remember vividly the last paper I had to churn in, and the teacher, the office that it was in, basically had said, hey, I'm gone for the day, so just make sure. He's telling all the students this, right? Mm-hmm. Just slide it under the door. And I remember literally, like it was yesterday, of this sliding it under the door, The papers are no longer touching my fingers. I am now done, officially done with college and my education. I can only get stupider from this point.
I was going to the year 2000 when you graduated from high school.
2005 now, because it took me 4.5 to get out of
lifelong
SDSU.
Learning,
Do you guys remember? Like a specific moment?
I remember
like
my graduation ceremony, but that's about it.
It was not like a physical. It was supposed to be a physical put this in the office thing. I got the date wrong for my very last paper. And it's one of those classes that I have two papers that are in my entire grade. And it was a class called...
The worst.
It was the Black Power class. And it was about the history of like the Black Power movement. And so I was like, oh, shoot. I thought it was due tomorrow. It was actually due today. And I'd already passed the deadline. I hurriedly emailed my professor. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, whatever. And she was like, just turn in what you have. And I quickly finished my paper. It was probably pretty crappy. And I turned it in and I was done with college. So it
did
was
you have any like graduate with honors or anything? Was that in the mix for you? Because it certainly wasn't for me.
I can't remember the exact thing, but yeah, I had some
so
honors.
You were worried about getting a good grade on this thing?
Kind of, yeah. And it's more of like, to end on that. And I also was still considering maybe law school at that point, too. So
for me, it was like very similar, like Dune 2. I watched it. San Diego says, I graduated.
I went there.
I completed.
05, I cared 2000, about learning. 2005.
That's exciting,
Those are good numbers. It's a good round numbers.
Good for you. Thorn cutting.
And then my thorn is a correlating. It's $250 for something that I'm only going to wear once. The cap and gown and like the tassels and everything is going to cost $250. I was like, come on. I was like, it's only wearing it once. And like, I guess the only way is like you can kind of make your money back is like if you rent it out to like like students from
sublet
the,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what
he's
people
wearing
do.
A UC Irvine one. I couldn't get Fullerton, but I stayed within the conference.
Big West. It's close enough. That's awesome. You should do that.
Yeah, I think
you
I
should
will.
Do that. That's great. Congratulations.
$80. Dude.
You just wear it and you turn it back in and it's $250?
You don't turn it back in. You keep it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you keep it.
But when are you ever going to... You
yeah,
should
exactly.
become a judge.
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
Just become...
What color is the robe?
I think it's blue and orange. The actual gown is dark blue and then like the sashes and stuff are like orange.
Did you guys go school colors on your...
Ours is black.
Ours was black too.
Yeah.
What about yours? You guys have black in your school colors though.
Yeah. Red? We went... No, I think we went black.
Yeah.
I think we went black as well.
Just a navy blue.
Classic. It's like a little black dress.
Yeah. If it was 108 degrees and it was done at the SCSU amphitheater outside, it was like, and it was at noon. Like, that's when we did our graduation.
When Susan graduated from
Middle
Cal Poly, it was 900 degrees and slow that day, and I thought I was going to die.
It was raining.
Graduation should be in April. It's just
or indoor.
Indoors is fine.
Yeah, mine
too.
Was raining. Okay, I have mine. So my last one is I'll start with my thorn and I'll end with a rose. But my thorn is that I had to watch another UVA basketball game. Why did they not just get left out? They suck this year. They can't shoot worth anything.
You got to get in. Anything can happen.
No, I don't. No,
anything
they
can
don't.
Happen. Anything.
They suck.
You can get to the Sweet 16.
I don't want to see them play basketball
Counterpoint,
anymore.
So does everyone else in college basketball.
Travis, you have not seen UVA play this year.
True.
Because they are absolutely atrocious. They cannot score to save their life. They probably score 25 points a game.
Oh, but that
they
is
suck
college.
So bad.
That
no.
College.
This is especially bad. They go through stretches of like 10 minutes where they cannot score. They're exceptionally bad. I know like UVA has the frap of like, oh, they're so hard to watch because they're so focused on defense. But back in like 2019, from 2017 to 2020-ish, they actually had offense. They had guys that could score and shoot and get up to like 80 points. I know that's not a lot, but it's a lot in college basketball-ish. But this team sucks. Get them off my screen, even though I'm a fan and I'm going to be rooting for them tomorrow night. So that's my thorn. I wish they got left out. My rosebud, though, is Pitbull's Twitter. Pitbull, the singer's Twitter, is just giving me so much joy. So this was on March 16th. He says, all my hashtag powerful women, y'all deserve the throne. Keep your head up and stay strong, Dale. And then he tweeted out yesterday, happy St. Patrick's Day, Dale. And then today he tweeted out, haters are the biggest motivators, 100. Monday motivation. So
there you go.
Pitbull's Twitter is giving me life right now, so that's my rosebud.
I want you to come to work one day in a black leather jacket and mirrored sunglasses, just channeling your inner Pitbull.
Every day above ground is a good day.
There you go. Those are good. I like that segment. Good job, Em. The Dump coming up next is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. It was today in 1980, which doesn't feel that long ago, which was actually 44 years ago, which is deeply depressing. Mike Krzyzewski was offered the Duke head coaching position, and he accepted the job. He took over as the head coach officially on May 4th. And what, is this the second year we've had of college basketball?
John Shire as the head coach, yeah.
Held that job down for 42 years.
I have actually no idea. Is Duke this year?
They're okay. Are they in the tournament? I think they are. They are in the tournament. They have talent, but they just can't like put it together.
Yeah. Think about the question that we just asked. Is Duke in the tournament? And we're like, yeah, I think so.
I know.
College basketball, that has to be somewhat alarming to them.
They're a four seed.
Mountain West. I mean, I got some info. Nothing else.
What is the name again of Duke's coach?
John Shire.
Today is the first day I've ever heard that name.
If you'd have told me John Shire won an Oscar,
yeah, oh yeah,
I would have been like, his work is amazing.
Shire's brother.
Yep.
Oh, I wish it were.
Oh, just
Adrian's brother is
just as believable to me. Like I
also could have been lying to you guys. I could have been having a totally different person, but his name is
John. And we would have known nothing.
An MLS announcer took a shot at Her Royal Highness Kate Middleton and the royal family while he called a save.
Delgado playing one over the top, skips to the end line from the corner, paints still centric. Oh! Roman Berkey! Stones Jovalich! Paddles one away! Oh! Roman Berkey! Altering that shot like it's a Kate Middleton Mother's Day photo.
No.
It was a little too forced. Yep. It was trying too
hard. He wrote that down, and he'd been waiting for that moment to when he could slide that in there. Like, I was here. I was waiting for it to come in, but you could tell he was reacting to a save. And they went, oh, this is where I had that Kate Middleton joke. Let me dust that off.
Well, and
give
if
it
a save didn't come and we're getting close to it ending, he'd have used it on a corner kick.
Yeah.
That was getting used.
It's also the tone. He sounded very proud of himself as he did this. Just
the great calls come quasi-organically. Be prepared, but don't read it. That felt like he was reading his Kate Middleton joke. Andy, where are you on the latest that I read something this weekend that she was finally spotted in a video? Emily completely debunked this and swatted it aside.
I saw something on Twitter and took it for fact.
She's going to be here for the 2 o'clock hour, so just hang. She's going to be in studio with us.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, it's going to be me, John, excellent. Michael, Pepe, and Kate.
Kate will be here.
She's got a lot of thoughts
on
the Lakers.
That's a good guess, as they say.
Oh, she's got thoughts on Darvin Ham, the brackets, all sorts of stuff. I have not kept up with this thing at all.
Oh, it's tremendous. This is the first time in my life I've had even a smattering of interest in anything
royal
family.
I don't believe you. I think this is just opening up. You feel more comfortable with bringing this up now.
You can share the photos that you went to Kate and Will's wedding.
The idea that one of the most famous people in the Western world is AWOL is intriguing to me.
And they keep on pushing out false photos and stories. Like,
what
are we
doing
here?
That part's weird.
Yeah, she's just not around?
Am I correct? Isn't there like a schism between Kate Middleton and like the palace?
That's the other one.
So we didn't know before this. So the people that left the quote-unquote institution were Harry and Meghan. So Harry and Meghan are the ones.
So those are different people.
Yeah, so Harry and Meghan are Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They moved to California.
They live in Montecito.
3 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, here's my next question. Who's Kate Middleton?
So Kate Middleton will be the next queen whenever Will.
I'm being serious. Okay. I apparently thought her.
She's
and
married
Meghan
to the redheaded brother has the wife that they split. They're like, we're out of here. The bald brother is married to Kate Middleton.
Okay, so, I actually thought we were talking about the one who's been stateside this whole time.
Brother is next in line for the king. So Charles is the king.
Don't even know who that is.
Will is right under Charles, and Kate is Will's husband. So if Charles passes away, Will is king, and she is queen.
We should do a podcast on this.
There are plenty
just
of podcasts.
Just a full 1 hour.
I would listen to it.
But just us three.
Does she have a good relationship
confusion
with the crown?
So Kate has been one of the most forward members of the institution. Yes, we believed that she had a good relationship with the crown until all this stuff happened.
That's what we thought.
And so she was supposed to be like a very dutiful member of the crown. She also really, really wants to be queen. She's like tried so hard to get Will.
She's into the whole deal.
She really wants to be queen. And so it's not like Meghan, who didn't ever want to be queen and is married to the spare.
All right. Does that help? Are you good now? You caught up? Everybody else on the road caught up?
Ireland strikes me as somebody who may be somewhat in up to speed on the royal family shenanigans.
Not even just that. I think John has like sources. Like,
well,
I think
John has a kind of a regal bearing in his own right.
Text somebody and say,
as
give me
I
the latest.
I often say about my good friend Lindsay Lohan, Kate Middleton is just misunderstood.
There you go.
She's done nothing wrong. Leave her be.
Did you see the video or the
stories?
Are
you picking on Kate Middleton, Em? Is that what's going on here?
Trying to figure it out.
I'm just saying she's still missing.
I just learned who she is.
Have you been following this story?
Who she is, Andy?
No, I apparently thought she was Meghan Markle or whatever
Markle.
Her name is. Markle.
Have you been following her absence?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the story yesterday that apparently there was a video of her?
I haven't seen a video.
Nor have I.
No one's seen the video.
Well, it's on Twitter.
But they say there is a video where she was seen and everything's fine now, but Emily is batting
aside. She had abdominal surgery, right?
Quote unquote, yeah.
Wait, you're doubting her?
I'm just saying there's a lot of things out there that
Are you suggesting that it might have been plastic surgery and she's hiding?
That could be true. She could also be getting a divorce from William. There's a million things
out there.
I heard
about the cheating, yeah.
Because they didn't say anything true, and so all these
what's their motto? Never confirm, never discuss,
never complain, never explain is
okay,
their thing.
Yeah,
so they have not explained
like
anything, but they've also had all these weird things happen that they haven't talked about.
What is your theory as to her extended absence from the public view?
I don't know, but it seems like that family has marital problems top to bottom. You know, so
fair.
That wouldn't surprise me, but it's a lot to, as we found out with Diana before she died, it's a lot to give up if you're Kate Middleton.
But wouldn't
if
there
your
be
husband
a
cheats,
photograph of her somewhere going to take the kids somewhere to do something like this, that she's not that they're getting a divorce or maybe getting a divorce, they're having problems. She's an exceptionally famous person that has not been seen in public in going on three full months.
It is
with
tax
photos
season.
That aren't doctored.
Right.
So because it's tax season,
does
she could
moonlight
be,
as a CPA?
It could be a lot going on in her
How
life.
Great would it be if she had a side hustle as a CPA? Who does your taxes? Well, don't tell anybody, but it's Kate Middleton. She knows all the laws. She knows all the places to squirrel away money. That's the best case scenario.
An announcement on Monday. It was said that there will be an announcement regarding the royal family that there's been an embargo on news until Wednesday.
Didn't you say that President Obama had shown up in the UK?
He was at Downing Street, so yes. At 10 Downing Street. But
we've reached
knows?
A place now where even whatever this announcement says and they bring her out, there's still going to be conspiracy theories. Like, it's going to be like a Dave situation. Remember that movie where Kevin Kline played the fake president?
Sure.
That was actually a really good movie.
It is a good movie. But I'm just saying, like, this is never going to go away, because the best part about conspiracy theories, and we really are living this the last several years worldwide, is they don't have to make sense and there is no bottom.
If you
and
believe
it's
it, it's true.
For letting it go this far. If they could have gotten control of this and they refused to, and therefore the conspiracy theories run wild.
Cody, you know what we should do? A little super crosstalk.
Woo, 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 woo.
All right, so John, I'm going to start with you. Was the ending of Saturday night's Laker game your opening exhibit in your case to get rid of replay in NBA basketball?
I rarely do this, but I'm going to punt because it's the whole start of our show.
Okay, fair enough.
Literally, I have like sound prepared. I have a whole argument.
So I'm watching the game on Saturday night, and you can sit this out for this if you'd like. But
yeah.
And I'm watching the whole thing. It took 22 minutes of clock time to play 2 minutes of basketball time.
Yep.
And all I'm thinking about is you and Michael, because as I'm watching,
if you would have been listening, we would not have disappointed you.
I couldn't believe that how long it took. And I get
never
it.
Shot clock. Forget about it, because that's something that they can't control.
My first year of covering the NBA was 1996. I've never seen anything like it ever.
That long,
ever.
It almost became it was like a joke after a while. Every time LeBron, they inbound the ball.
It wasn't like a joke.
Well, it was a joke. This is how bad it was, and I'm sure you'll bring this up. Mike Breen on the game was even saying, this is ridiculous.
You'll hear that.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Well, I mean, there was weird timing going on, because you had whatever was going on with LeBron's three, which Darvin Ham made it sound like, because he was asked in so many words, like,
Did you know they could review it?
Like, did your asking of, you know, the challenge on that play involving Draymond Green and Austin Reeves, where Draymond tried to get the ball off Austin, but he traveled, did that challenge allow for the opportunity to review this LeBron 3 that got wiped off? And he said no. Like, basically that this is stuff that gets reviewed in New York. And I think the timing of it was just very weird. But I wonder how much of the delay, I mean, not counting the stuff with the shot clock and all that, but how much of the delay was them actually having to wait around for something from Sea Caucus as opposed to just...
Does it matter?
Yeah, because I think Sea Caucus makes the final call.
No, I know they do, but regardless of the procedures in place.
I'm not saying to justify it. I'm saying just in terms of this culmination of bizarre things coming together to lead to the world's longest delay in NBA history.
All right, so I'll leave that there for you guys.
Just a quick, simple solution to all this, and we've said it before. Just like you have in anything you do, everything has a clock.
Yeah.
Just put a clock on. 60 seconds goes by. Whatever happens after the 60 seconds, run with it.
Okay, if we're going to get
everything has a clock. Put a clock on it.
If it's 60 seconds, though, that's too long. Because the idea is to fix obvious mistakes.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Right? 10, 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly out of bounds. Move on. If not, it's like, we called it, we're going to keep it moving.
But 60 seconds sounds like 3 seconds compared to the 30 minutes that they're
spending. That's for sure. Did you guys see the highlights? I guess they're highlights of the Dodgers playing those Korean teams.
I saw the girls. The dancing girls.
Those are the highlights. Mm-hmm. That the actual baseball itself, I don't even know if they actually played because nobody showed any of the highlights. But the woman who threw out the first pitch, the women dancing on the dugout, the drums playing. All I know is that Korea was not on my list of places to go, like at the top.
And it is now.
It got very near the top after seeing that. That's what baseball should have more of.
Well, remember during the beginning of the pandemic when sports were basically all
KBO canceled. The first thing back.
Right.
And oh, yeah, that's right.
Everyone started tuning into Korean baseball for the first time because this was the only sport going on, and now you had an actual reason to be seeking out overseas baseball. One of the first things people said was, this league is incredibly entertaining. Like, they do it more with the idea of pure showmanship than we do in America.
I made this argument Friday, not to any of you three. I want to see if I can convert any of you. I think this idea to go play 2 regular season games in Korea is the worst idea ever. I've been to China with the Lakers for 2 preseason games. Went to Beijing, went to Shanghai. It was great. And at some point, these leagues got together and decided NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, that it would be a good idea to play regular season games halfway across the world. It's a terrible idea. It's a competitive disadvantage to the Dodgers and the Padres, who have to... I travel and have traveled with a basketball team for 20-plus years. Travel takes a toll on you.
Sure.
And those overseas trips, like the ones to China and Korea, take a toll on you. When the Dodgers went to Australia several years ago, Clayton Kershaw had to sit on
a
plane for 11 hours. Two, 3 years, his back was messed up. What are we doing? I understand Mason argues that they want to grow the game.
Right.
They want to grow the game internationally. You can do that with preseason games. What the F are we doing?
But isn't that essentially what these are, John? I know that they're official
they count.
Games.
No,
I know they
count,
do.
But the fact that it's a week
they give
early.
Them a week to get over there. They basically give them a week to come back, to reacclimate to the American time clock and everything else. I'm with you that they count is goofy. But it's only 2, and it's not like they do it in the middle of the season where they're over there and back in a 4 or 5 day window.
Trav, I did 6 cities in 9 days at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't recovered.
Yeah.
All right? It's not fair.
But
it's
when
not,
would you send them? If it was an exhibit, when like the very beginning of spring training, at the end of the season, when do you send them if you're not going to send them now?
The team's got to ramp up.
Yeah.
But I would send them right at the... let everybody ramp up. I'd send them right at the beginning of spring training.
John, here's why I think it's okay. It's okay because don't send the Dodgers and the Padres next year. Now go rotate 2 different teams. And the point I'm saying is that you can grow the game. Regular season games obviously are much more meaningful. Just don't send the Dodgers and the Padres again next year. Make it the Yankees and the Red Sox. And then the following year, make it Seattle and
this. Why do you
want to
screw the Yankees and the Red Sox next year? Why do you want to screw Seattle in 2 years?
I think this is the best way that you can do it. The fact that they're doing it, like you just mentioned.
This is really the only place you can put it.
I mean, you did it early enough. Give them some time to come back. They get home games when they come back.
This is a blatant money grab.
Sure it is.
Of course it is. The sport itself is a money grab. This whole thing is a money grab. If two games in March screws up your internal clock for the rest of the season, the problem's you.
No, what I'm not suggesting it's going to screw up your clock for the rest of the season. I'm going to suggest that if they start 5-20, that has something to do with it.
If they start 5-20 because they played two games in
Korea in
March,
Dave Roberts will be working at that Waffle House that guy keeps calling about.
No, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying that travel with all the time in between those games in Korea and starting leads to a 5-20 start.
You know who didn't seem to mind? What are you talking about? All that time in between. They come back, they play the freeway series, and then the season starts up again. They get a weekend to catch up. That's enough time for you?
No, it's enough time by the time April rolls around, like the end of April, you've had enough time to catch up on that sleep.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, I think this is the only time you can do it, because to your point, to ramp up, you want Dodgers and Padres to show up to spring training 3 weeks earlier than everybody else?
I'm just saying, let them show up maybe a week earlier, and then their first two spring training games can be in Korea.
Yeah, that's kind of, they're just, other than they count, that's kind of what they're doing right now. The Padres and Dodgers did start earlier.
Players who matter, if you bring spring training games over there, they're watching a bunch of guys who may not even
send their guys.
Right, exactly.
You have the best experience by far because you travel all the time. We're all going to be sitting on our ass watching the game, and I know, so it's a lot easier for us. But I do think if you just rotate teams, just kind of, all right, let me make sure I don't put those teams back out there in a year.
And by the way, if you're sending teams halfway across the world for two games, that doesn't make any sense either.
Okay, so that's an interesting idea. Like, if you're going to send them over for
a four-game set.
Send four teams over, have them play for a week, kind of a round-robin thing. And
start it earlier.
When Babe Ruth and everybody was playing, when the season ended, they would go on tours like this. Right. That'd be okay, too. But if I was a Dodger season ticket holder, I'd be pissed.
Yeah,
opening day for me is now at 2:30 in the morning. I got to get up at 2:30 to see Shohei Ohtani's first at bat as a Dodger. What are you doing?
It's only 3, John.
I thought it was 2. Doesn't first pitch at 2:30?
I think it's 3.
John, it's pretty such, sure it's 3. And especially the Dodgers. I don't like the example of the Dodgers because this is also your opportunity to grow your global brand. You literally just brought Shohei.
You can do it in the offseason.
You can do it in the offseason, but think about how important this also is for the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers, granted this is Korea, I know it's not Japan, even though Korea, I'm sure, are going to fall in love with some of these Dodger players as well. I get what you're saying. I think ultimately at the end of the day, actually, it's a no-brainer
to me
that they got to do
these things. Having a great time? Chris Taylor and his Dodger teammates when they were watching that woman throw out the first pitch.
Maybe we'll bring some of those traditions over
here. Yes, indeed. All right, a quick one before we head out here. Taking as much as you can luck out of the equation.
Okay.
Just pure difficulty combined with skill. Is that shot Kyrie Irving hit yesterday the best buzzer beater you've ever seen, where just a left-handed side-armed hook shot from about 18 feet with Jokic defending?
Jeez. All right. Michael Thompson's going to be in here when we start the show. I just saw him. He just walked in.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Michael.
Michael said 4 years ago, with dead serious, he said, Kyrie Irving is the most skilled basketball player I have ever seen. And people mocked Michael for that. People said, oh, you're just prisoner of the moment. Because it was when the Warriors were playing the Cavs in the finals. And he said, nope. He said, if there was a one-on-one tournament with every player in the league, he would take Kyrie. And everybody made fun of him. And now everybody is saying what he said 4 years ago. Kyrie is a freak.
Have you ever seen a shot like that?
Well, I've seen him do that.
From there?
So here's the backstory on Kyrie. His father went and played basketball in Australia. His father was a good college player, went and played in Australia. Kyrie was born in Australia. And Kyrie grew up playing with kids that were much older and much taller than him. And so when you see him go into traffic, he's not scared. He has all these, he can contort his body. Yep. The fact that Jokic had his whole right side blocked, Kyrie's been shooting shots like that since he was a little kid. And the end result is he has a skill set that no one else has. No one has his quickness. No one has his handle. He's a great shooter. And because he's a freak and he's kind of a knucklehead and he says really weird stuff, people think that he can't possibly be the best player. He is. He's that skilled. And by the way, if he didn't have all that off the court stuff, he'd be considered like first team All NBA every year.
Oh yeah, well, and he'd have to play,
right?
But
you know, he wouldn't get vaccinated, and then he takes his absence.
Well,
he's on what,
or things like that that keep him away from basketball. That's also part of the reason people don't talk about him as the greatest player of all time.
Right,
like, you do have to be on the court.
Fair enough.
Pure degree of difficulty of that shot from that distance.
I don't know another player, Andy, who would take it.
No,
let alone make it.
I watched it live. That was insane.
I never saw. I covered Kobe's whole career. I never saw Kobe throw up a left-handed 15-footer to win a game.
No, I watched
that. Kobe had more game winners than anybody.
My immediate reaction watching that was like speechless, because like, wait, what just happened?
It's what Luka did. You see Luka's reaction.
Yeah, Luka was in shock.
And Kyrie's the best at the basket of, I could use my left or my right, kissing it off the glass, the whole thing.
Sure,
but you said,
but when we talk about finishing at the rim, I get it. With both hands and all, he contorted his body. He was nowhere near the rim. He was beyond the foul line. It was like an 18-footer.
Yeah, it was crazy. Unbelievable.
I tweeted out after that game, once I sort of got my bearings back and figured out what happened, only a madman would take a left-handed hook shot from the free throw line to win a game. Kyrie Irving, exactly.
Right. You know, that's totally accurate. Yeah. He's that good. He's just got the ability to do things and make shots that no one else even conceives.
John, I'm going to race down to my car. Give me a good 2 minutes to get there, because I want to hear about your of game.
I've just had it. I've had it with replay. I've had it with the refs.
He's emptying the whole clip.
I was the whole time like, Ireland's going to lose his mind. Ireland's going to lose his mind. That's all I was going through my head. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about.